I'm Jean Marie Laskus. I'm a journalist. I spent my career helping Americans understand the lives of other Americans. Coal miners, gun shop clerks, staffers in the White House mailroom. In my new podcast, Cement City, I tell the story of an entire town. A dying town that you have absolutely no reason to care about. But trust me, you will. Listen to and follow Cement City, an Odyssey original podcast in partnership with Cement City Productions. Available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
97.1 FM Talk. On demand audio.
I thought we would saunter into the 5 o'clock hour, ladies and gentlemen, with a little Sade on the bumper music list this afternoon.
He's laughing with another girl.
See, there's my old DJ skills kicking in. Hit that post. Most of you don't know what that means, but I'm proud of myself. I just have to say that. We have Carl Cannon. He's one of my favorite political types. You know, here's what's interesting about this presidential race, and I think that Carl's going to highlight this. Trump appears to be closing very strong. And I was, many of you know, I was very concerned about where this campaign was going to head after late August and even the early parts in mid-September. But things are kind of clicking right now, and some of the polling is really encouraging in Michigan and even in Wisconsin. So, and there's Senate races that are looking real good for Republicans. So we'll get with Carl here at the bottom of the hour of Real Clear Politics. His dad, of course, was a legend in Washington, Luke Cannon. Carl Cannon at 525, plus an audio cut of the day. So there was an interesting story that was in our local paper today about a clash that a couple of so-called sovereign citizens had with police officers in Troy. I have invited former St. Louis County Police Chief Tim Fitch, who is a regular on the roundtable, to join us this afternoon to break this down a little bit. Tim, how are you?
I'm doing great, Mark.
First and foremost, how's your place in Florida? What do you know?
Well, our place in Florida, we don't know because we're both in St. Louis right now. But the wife's car is parked at the Sarasota-Bradenton International Airport, which isn't far from the water, so we have concerns about how it fared. But the good thing is it's her company car.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah, and then our where we live is 12 miles from the ocean, so we don't get storm surge, and we're on the fourth floor of our building. So we think we never lost power. That's a good sign, but we really don't know at this point the shape of it.
Did you have some damage from Helene or not?
No, absolutely not.
That's
we
good.
Did from Ian. We had some fence damage and some tree damage, but we've been through what, three hurricanes down there. I went through Debbie. I was actually there when Debbie hit. We had 17 inches of rain in 24 hours with Debbie. But other than flooded roads and those type of things, we were fine.
Yeah, and, you know, that's what they're, some of the rainfall totals, we've been watching these, Sue and I have, you know, 15, 16, 17, 18 inches in some of these areas. Now, we can get paralyzed very easily with 2 inches of rain in a very short time, or maybe, you know, on the extreme end, 4 to 6, but I can't imagine 3 to 4 times that amount, right?
Yeah, exactly. And you know how flat Florida is. It's flatter than Kansas. It's the flattest state in the country. So there's nowhere for that water to go. So it really does pool and flood. You know what? It tends to go down pretty quickly.
Well, I'm glad that so far things look like they're okay. And, you know, keep us posted on that. The situation in Troy, it's kind of complicated a little bit. When I saw the headline this morning, this whole sovereign citizen stuff, can you explain that? Have you encountered that before? These are folks that feel like they the laws just don't apply to them, right?
Yeah, that's right. They've been around as long as I can remember. So I've been in law enforcement now in 40 years, and they existed back then. And it's a small group, mostly in rural areas. So you don't see them in urban areas like St. Louis County as much. You might see them going through. And they'll usually have a hand-drawn license plate or something like that, you know, because they don't get driver's licenses for the most part. Or if they do, they issue their own. You know, it's some of those type of things. And it's just a different mindset that they actually believe in all of that, that they are not subject to any domestic laws. That's how they see the world.
So this is a couple. Their names are Andrew and Aaliyah Menson. They're from Troy, and they post this body cam footage over the weekend of what happened here. And Officer Todd Plum is the cop. He tries to pull them over. They don't pull over right away, and they do have like a weird license plate. And they, when you watch the video, they kind of roll down this road that's a dead end. And the officers, as they would be, are very cautious approaching the vehicle. And let me play a little audio here of what it sounded like.
Hey, driver, step on out for me. Step on out for me, okay?
Getting out on my my own free wish.
All right, man, come on back. Just relax.
Relax. No, stop. Stop. Put your hands behind your back. Put your hands behind your back right now.
Yeah, he's not cooperating from the very beginning. And they're hitting him with a taser here.
It's a taser. Get down on the ground.
Now, he doesn't even seem to be affected by the taser that much. And then the wife is warned.
Ma'am, have a seat in your car. Ma'am, have a seat in your vehicle. Right here. Right over here. Sit in the right here in the passenger seat, or I'm going to place you under arrest. This is the last time I'm telling you. This is the last time. Stay right here. If you move from here again, you're going to be stopped. You're going to be placed under arrest. Do you understand? Yes or no?
Well, she is then. She's dragged from the car.
I told you to stay in the seat. You did not. Get out of the car. I don't care if you're recording. Get out.
Now, the kids are there, and then she apparently is knocked unconscious. So, Tim, like, I don't have a lot of mixed feelings about this, because from the very beginning, you have another situation where this person is not complying. The cops seem relatively calm when they approach the vehicle. They don't know what's in that vehicle. That could be someone with a gun. I was very critical on the Tyreek Hill thing from a few weeks ago, because I thought that cop got a little too hot-headed, even though Tyreek was at fault as well. But what do you make of this one? I'm very curious about your opinion.
Well, that's exactly what we talked about in that case in Miami. Was it started with someone not complying. That's how almost all of these, I mean, usually that's how they all start, and then it went downhill from there. And my criticisms of Miami PD is that, you know, you're supposed to de-escalate the situation, not ramp it up. Now, keep in mind, this video that was released, did you see who released the video, where it came from?
Well, not really. That's why I was confused, because it's the body cam video, but it was couple that released it, right?
That's right. So they say they got a copy of the body. What's missing is a lot of information. So I don't know, just from looking at the video that they released, what's true and what isn't true and what they left out, what they cut up. You can tell at different points that the video is choppy. It like, you go from this scene to all of a sudden you're now in this scene, and you didn't get to see what happened up till then. So it looks to me like maybe they made some edits to the video. I don't know that for a fact, but I'm always suspicious when somebody else has the video in their hands and then they release it with their narrative. And I don't know if the police department plans on doing that in Troy, releasing their video with their own description of that. But with that said, I don't understand. She was loud. She was obnoxious. She was filming them. By the way, those are all things that you get to do. You know, you get to be loud. You get to be obnoxious. You know, the last thing that any police officer wants to do is arrest parents in front of their kids. That's always an absolute last resort, because when you do that, you no longer have the parents there. What are you going to do with the kids? Or you're going to have to place them in juvenile, or, you know, find foster. You know, so those are usually last resort type of things. So I don't know what was in the officer's mind. And also, we have to keep in mind that the video is from the camera perspective, not from the officer's perspective. So we don't know what they saw that gave them concerns. But I also don't understand what she was being charged with. Following all that, and I also have heard, and I guess I read in the article, that prosecutor dropped any charges against her. So that's not a surprise that happened. But, you know,
yeah,
he's
been charged with resisting arrest, felony property damage for damaging the inside of the police car, and fourth-degree assault. He was not charged with speeding or a license plate violation. So they described the license plate. Sue, did you see the video by any chance?
No.
Okay, so, but this is one of these things with the sovereign citizen. So the guy, Andy Menson is his name. He's 33. He's an auto mechanic. He says that he has high-functioning autism, ADHD, and epilepsy. He's driving his wife's Audi, and they have a license plate that he called a Z plate. They bought it for $25 on the internet. It features an eagle, a sideways flag, and the words "private automobile, not for hire." So they claim that they've driven it for 3 months, never stopped by the cops. And he says he didn't get a license plate because he didn't have the money for insurance.
I'm Jean Marie Laskus. I'm a journalist. I spent my career helping Americans understand the lives of other Americans. Coal miners, gun shop clerks, staffers in the White House mailroom. In my new podcast, Cement City, I tell the story of an entire town, a dying town that you have absolutely no reason to care about. But trust me, you will. Listen to and follow Cement City, an Odyssey original podcast in partnership with Cement City Productions. Available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
he insists that the state should recognize this plate. That's how they feel, right? So I'm legal. I don't want any part of you. He even announces, you could hear him at the beginning of the, you know, the video and the audio. He goes something like, you know, I'm coming out, you know, compliance. I can't remember what the words were, but he acts like he's coming out to comply, and he's got paperwork with him, Chief, as well.
Yeah, there's probably some sort of paperwork saying they have no authority over him or over his vehicle, or they can't order him what to do. That's typically what they carry with them, those kind of orders. And it's and their orders are written up in their own court. So, yeah, it's a very interesting sect.
Well, the thing, I always kind of look at these from a different perspective, maybe a variety of perspectives, and certainly I did that with Tyreek Hill. But in this situation with these officers, I don't think that they escalated things. I think that the couple escalated things, for sure. And then if you put yourself in the cop's position, what were you supposed to do after the guy is refusing to cooperate, and then you tase him and he's still not going down? So what choices are the cops left with at that point? Not that we want the woman dragged out of the car and unconscious, but she wasn't cooperating either.
Yeah, I would just tell you that everything I saw them doing with him looked perfectly reasonable. You've heard me probably say before, it's awful, but it's lawful. It doesn't look good. It never looks good. Anytime you have someone resisting arrest, it doesn't look good. Now with her, you know, clearly she was wanting to get involved and interfere in the arrest. That was clearly going on. But I wasn't sure exactly what, you know, charge that she had, but apparently whatever it was.
It doesn't matter. It's moot at this point, right? Yeah, exactly.
That's right. And as far as writing tickets, they should have written them a ticket for why they stopped them. Speeding, from what I understand, and no valid license plates. I'm not sure why they didn't, or if they just didn't make it into the article.
That doesn't make sense either, but maybe some more questions than answers here on this one. But I appreciate you jumping on here this afternoon.
Yep.
I'm asking everyone, though, as I don't know if you'll be on the roundtable here before Election Day. What's your gut check on the election? Any thoughts there?
I personally believe Trump is going to pull it off. I really do believe that. I think we're seeing many signs of that around the country. People are now into the point where they have to make a decision. They have to make a decision. I think that's why you're starting to see Trump's polling numbers going up, as they finally made their decision, because they're getting ready to go in and vote. You know, it's so much early voting nowadays in the country. So I think he's going to be fine.
I think you're probably right about that. But I appreciate coming on here. Good luck with everything in Florida as well.
All right, thanks.
All right, take care. That is Chief Tim Fitch. Used to be, of course, police chief, also St. Louis County Councilman. He was my councilman here in St. Louis County. So I wanted to play some audio here from Jackie Heinrich and Alejandro Mayorkas, who, of course, is the Homeland Security Secretary, because this is an interesting story. There's an ISIS plot to affect the elections here, and Jackie Heinrich was in the press room trying to grill Mayorkas on this today, and it got pretty hot. This is, if it wasn't for the hurricane and some audio that I have from that, this would probably be audio cut of the day. But Jackie tries to press here, and this is pretty interesting. Check it out.
This Afghan national who was working for the CIA in Afghanistan was arrested for planning an Election Day terror plot. He was brought to the U.S. after Afghanistan collapsed. Your agency says as part of the SIV program. The State Department is telling us he was not part of the SIV program, which had strenuous vetting. They say he was never issued an SIV or immigrant visa, and DHS paroled him into the U.S. They further expect the court document to be updated to reflect this from the DOJ side. So, Mr. Secretary, how was this man brought into the U.S.? What screening did he undergo? What did he apply for to get here?
Jackie, I'm here in North Carolina communicating with the individuals who are still conducting search and rescue operations. Over 200 people have lost their lives in Hurricane Helene. We have reports that at least 10 individuals have lost their lives.
So, look, he's not answering the question. He's deflecting there. Now, look, that's not to say that that's not an important topic, but this is pretty serious. So they have charged Nasir Ahmad Tahidi with planning this attack in support of ISIS on Election Day. It was supposed to be a terrorist attack on Election Day. He was arrested in Oklahoma City. He made his initial appearance in federal court on Tuesday. He remains in custody. The complaint was unsealed this week. Tahidi and unnamed co-conspirators, including a juvenile, by the way, who's his brother-in-law, were followers of ISIS, took steps to carry out an attack in the U.S., including by trying to sell their family home, relocate their families abroad, and purchase firearms and ammunition. 27-year-old guy. He comes to the U.S. in September of 21. days after the U.S. withdrew from Afghanistan. The criminal complaint said he's currently on parole status pending adjudication of his immigration proceedings. So here you have someone else, maybe not from the southern border, but someone who should not be in this country. So Jackie Heinrich tries to press here.
We're getting conflicting answers from your agency and from the State Department about a man who was arrested for an Election Day terror plot. How do you not have those answers prepared?
Jackie, that's not what I said. What I said is I'd be pleased to discuss this issue at a different time, but I am here to speak about disasters that have impacted people's lives in real time, and that is a subject that I am addressing today.
Mr. Secretary, can you assure people that appropriate steps have been taken to secure the country against these kinds of threats? Because the outstanding question is whether this man was radicalized before the U.S. government brought him here or afterward. And people should be concerned about that.
Jackie, your persistence in questioning can be matched by my persistence in answers.
Oh, my God.
Are you kidding me?
He's so full of crap. He's another one of these embarrassments that Biden has, you know, hired. By the way, did you hear? Now, you know, Bob Woodward's got this book coming out, and it's got a bunch of blah, blah, blah. And I don't know. That used to be a guy that we would trust, obviously, from Watergate. But I don't know if I can trust him and the crap that he does anymore. But he's got some interesting things in the book, including that Biden can't stand Merrick Garland.
That's interesting.
I think that's interesting. Well, because Merrick Garland is just...
Well, do something about him.
He's just a feeble old man that could have been on the Supreme Court. But this is a big story. You got a guy inspired by ISIS that was going to try to pull a terrorist attack on Election Day.
Records
accessed by the FBI show that he allegedly viewed ISIS propaganda, contributed about $540 in cryptocurrency to a charity in Syria, which fronts for and funnels money to ISIS. They searched for access to surveillance and security cameras in Washington, D.C., the suspects did. They checked webcams showing the White House and Washington Monument in late July. They thought that he was seeking out places in which gun laws were more lax. I don't know if that means Missouri or a location like ours. They sent a confidential human source. I mean, the good news here is that there seemed to be pretty good police work in tracking this guy down. They sent a confidential source and then later an undercover FBI agent to secretly interact with the guys as they tried to sell their home and other possessions. And in a September 21st message to a person associated with the terrorist activity, Tawahidi said he had purchased 2 Kalashnikov rifles and ordered 500 bullets. And the telegram message said, "What do you think, brother? Is it enough or should we increase it?"
Oh,
in subsequent messages, Tawahidi said his father-in-law's house had sold for $185,000. They're going to get the money by next week, October 15th, he asked for help in resettling his family, which included his mother-in-law, wife, their young daughter. So they were trying to, you know, he said, after that, we will begin our duty, God willing, with the help of God, we will get ready for the Election Day, and was trying to pull something pretty big. So again, good news that they caught him. But in this climate, you can't be resting assured that this is not going to happen, or is, you know,
no,
there's not more plots out there. We certainly learned a lot about that this summer. So there you go. But good work by the FBI in bringing this one down. And shame on Alejandro Mayorkas for not even knowing anything about it, right? Good work, Jackie Heinrich. Coming back with Carl Cannon next.
Get more at 971talk.com.
I'm Jean Marie Laskus. I'm a journalist. I spent my career helping Americans understand the lives of other Americans. Coal miners, gun shop clerks, staffers in the White House mailroom. In my new podcast, Cement City, I tell the story of an entire town, a dying town that you have absolutely no reason to care about. But trust me, you will. Listen to and follow Cement City, an Odyssey original podcast in partnership with Cement City Productions. Available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.